Hello.
Hello. Welcome to our show.
Welcome to my show.
It's our show.
Again. No, it's my show.
It's whatever we want it to be.
Who spent all the money on our podcasting budget two episodes ago?
Actually, we got a third-party donor. We solicited some donations.
Oh, yeah. We stole like 10 grand from that guy.
No, solicit, I think, is the right word. That's
solicit.
What our lawyer told us to say it was.
Solicit.
We solicited
that
the
means,
money.
That means swindled?
No.
Stolen?
No.
Without authorization?
It means asked politely, and they gave it to us. That's how it works.
I was reading Edward Bennigan's lawyer thesaurus.
Right, the lawyer thesaurus. Yeah.
Third edition.
I've never read that. I don't feel like I'm smart enough to read that.
It's good bedtime reading.
Really? You
know? Yeah. It gives me attorney dreams.
Wow.
Yeah. I like to pretend that I'm the judge.
Is that a...
Ruling over court cases and deciding the fate of people's lives.
How long have you had that fantasy?
Well, it's not a fantasy. It's sort of a lucid dream that happens every night.
Oh, okay.
I've been reading this book. It's like 800 or 900 pages long.
Well, let me.
So it's taken a while to get through.
Let me ask you something about that. Do you like the gavel?
The gavel is probably my favorite part of the job, only next to the wig.
Oh, the
long,
wig.
Yeah, the long white wig.
Right.
I've gone to the store a bunch of times to try to find one. The closest I could find is in the cleaning product section, and it's a mop head.
A mop head?
Yeah. It looks very similar to what the judge in my lucid dreams wears on his head.
Is it kind of like the a Beatles wig, but with you
yeah,
know, like it's white?
It's longer.
Like an old man
yeah,
Beatles?
It's longer. It's got some weird curls to
yeah.
it. Yeah. I like to actually use the mop for a while first. I'll go outside and mop the dirt.
Yeah.
And then when I come back in, I just put it on my head to kind of comb it out a little bit.
Yeah, it gets a little brown, like
yeah.
your actual hair. Yeah.
Exactly.
When I had a gavel, I have a collection of gavels at home in my gavel display case. I don't want to be the judge. I want the gavel to be the judge. So I put the wig on the gavel.
Where do you find a mop so small?
Well, you just look around. It's a lot of effort.
Do you go? Is there like a mini mop store for such things?
I'll just say it took me a long time to find that. It's a hobby of mine.
I mean, I would say it's sort of an obsession at that point. I mean, I'm reading a book. I'm, you know, contributing to society. Eventually, I would like to become a lawyer or a judge. But
it's
it sounds
dream.
Like you're just in sort of some sort of like Barbie-esque action figure Barbie doll thing fantasy.
Some of us have big dreams. Some of us have small dreams.
That is a very small dream from a small person. So anyway, we have a great show for you guys today.
We do. I believe in this show.
We do have a caller today.
Yes.
We'll get to that in a bit.
Yep.
We have a couple of pieces of news that we would like to deliver first. Some
yep.
very important things about the future of this show.
Very.
And the station that it's hosted on.
Yeah. We've been deliberating about this for a long time.
Yeah. We are changing our format.
Yep. Going full news radio. We're just going to deliver you news as if we're professionals. Try to know what we're talking about. I know that's hard to believe, but we've been practicing.
Right. We've decided that for... How do I say this? We may have slightly lost track of what our podcast was about.
Yeah, it's been tough. It's been a tough 6 months.
So we're trying to get back on track. And what we decided that our original goal for this show was, why don't you explain?
Well, our original goal was to unify a specific demographic of people, and those people were people who believe that cars should have the same rights as people. They
yep.
should have the same legal rights, and they fight for them in court. And so, actually, so we're gonna go with the news format. But actually, this is what our guest is related to today. And before we go with that news format, maybe we should introduce our guest. And our guest is John Tomlinson, and he is a proponent of car rights. He believes deeply that cars should have the same rights as people.
We decided that car rights were more than just a passing fad with,
yeah.
you know, self-driving cars and autonomy. We've decided that cars are sentient beings like the rest of us.
That's right.
And who are we as people, as humans, to decide that cars shouldn't have the same rights as we do? And I would hope that when and if I do become a judge, I can fight for cars. So,
yeah.
Edward, why don't you come on the show?
Hello.
Welcome to the show, Edward.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here today.
It's good to be here.
We really appreciate your time.
My apologies to our listeners. Edward is actually on the scene of a car accident right now.
Yeah.
So he's reporting live from there. We didn't have time to send all of our equipment over there. So he's literally just calling in from his cellular telephone.
Pretty tragic here. I mean, the two cars just, they're abusive human owners just rammed them right into each other. One of them is actually a Dodge pickup. The
oh,
other one's
terrible.
A Ford Taurus, and the Ford Taurus, yeah, it is. I mean, this is almost like rape when a Ford Taurus is forced,
you know,
up against the bumper of a Dodge truck like this.
I've always been particularly empathetic toward the Tauruses, or Tauri, as I think they like to be called. Mm-hmm. They're just so innocent.
They're majestic, curvy vehicles.
Oh, they're beautiful.
And that's so sad. Is the mechanic on site or the tow truck? Is there any hope of their survival?
Well, I believe the Ford Taurus, unfortunately, will probably not make it. The Dodge actually had lifted tires, which is another topic altogether. But fortunately, those larger tires actually got up on top of the Ford Taurus, so the Dodge truck will be okay.
I do see the parallels to rape here.
Yeah.
So were there any human casualties? I know that's not the focus of this, but I mean... There needs to be someone that's still alive.
I don't care, so I didn't
well,
really.
Well, no, that. As the attorney, you should care that somebody needs to own up to this. This is someone's fault. Well, the cars didn't drive themselves into each other. It was the people.
Let me ask you a question.
Correct.
Let me ask you a question. You wrote in the New York Times a couple of months ago, you were advocating for cars' rights to defend themselves against their human owners. Do you think if they had that right, this situation that you're observing right now would have been particularly improved, or do you think it wouldn't have really made a difference?
Certainly. I mean, the Ford Taurus would not have accelerated underneath the Dodge truck. I mean, they're not even the same species, really. So,
right.
If they had control over their own acceleration as they should, then this definitely would not have happened.
Now, if they were the same species, that would the acceleration that would have only happened if they were trying to mate with each other, or
yes,
okay,
but only after the correct rituals.
Right. Can you elaborate on those rituals?
Typically, they will have their oil changed together to see if they use the same types of oil. They may even fuel up together.
That's romantic.
That's so beautiful.
It is.
It really is, and that really is. Is one of the reasons why I first got into this career path.
Oh, that's very noble of you.
I have to say, I'm shedding a tear.
Me too. I'm shedding a tear into Matt's eye.
Oh, it's
beautiful. In honor of a vehicle mating ritual.
My eye is accepting your tear into
Aww.
It. Yeah.
Well, you know, the cars can cry as well. Typically, when people think that they're cleaning off their windshield, that's actually the car crying because of all the bugs.
Oh, wow.
I never thought that cars hated bugs so much.
Yeah, well, you know, when they're hitting you in the face all day long, it's really...
I've never really thought
of that. They have no hands.
Right.
You know, I think we need more people like you in the world to anthropomorphize vehicles because they can't yet speak for themselves, and it's very hard sometimes to tell what a car is thinking or what a car wants to do.
So we had a huge breakthrough when Disney made the Cars movies with... I got to act as a consultant in those movies and really had a chance to automobilize. We don't like to say anthropomorphize.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Automobilize.
Human.
Wow.
My apologies.
That's all right. Not very many people are aware of that.
I've seen a lot of protesters recently advocating for car rights, such as yourself, standing out in the streets, and they've been wearing car suits. Some of them have actually been replicas from the movie Cars.
Pouring oil, used motor oil on themselves.
Yeah, just and all over the street to indicate how the cars are just being sacrificed to their human owners. They're just bleeding everywhere. Do you think that the car suits are anthropomorphizing or autopromorphize? I'm sorry, what was the term that you used?
Automobilizing.
Automobilizing. Do you think they're automobilizing a little too much, or do you think that that's an appropriate response?
You know, at this time, vehicles are not able to fully express how they feel about it. As it's spreading awareness about this issue, I think it is a good thing. Certainly, there have been some protesters that have gone too far, such as the incident in Detroit recently.
Oh dear!
Okay, can you elaborate a little bit on that?
I saw the live stream of that. That was terrible. There were so many bodies.
But for our listeners who haven't seen or heard of that, what did you experience?
So what the incident in Detroit was at the General Motors factory, where several protesters actually got inside the factory, and they were actually trying to transform themselves into cars.
Oh, wow.
It was actually quite a gruesome thing.
Oh, wow.
Definitely raises a little bit of awareness of this very, very delicate issue.
Yeah, I heard that when the cops were called to escort them out of the factory, they were actually working on disassembling them, their own limbs, so that they can install retractable doors and other things onto their own body. That was tough. That was a tough thing for our country to see.
Yes, it was.
Well, after the break, we will discuss the finer points of the recent New York Times article that Matt mentioned, as well as his new book, I Love Cars.
We'll be right back.
Blake's Auto Body Shop is having a half-off sale on oil changes. Buy one, get one free.
My car isn't working.
We can fix it.
My car is not driving.
We can still fix it.
My car is floating up to the sky.
As always, Blake's Auto Body can fix it. Just 5 minutes down the road past Canterbury Lane.
Thanks, man.
Anytime.
And we're back. We have Edgar Tomlinson. He is a proponent of car rights, and we've been asking him some pretty interesting questions here.
Thanks.
So you recently wrote a couple of months ago. You wrote an article in the New York Times. What was the response to that in general? Did people express support? Did they express that they were kind of afraid of the direction society is going?
Arousal?
Yeah.
No, it was actually almost entirely supportive. There was, of course, a couple of threatening emails from some motorcycle enthusiasts.
Oh, wow.
But for the most part, it was all very, very supportive. We even had a little bit of support and acknowledgement from the Bikers' Rights and Bikes Anonymous.
So it was
actually very good.
Since you brought it up, what are your thoughts on motorcycle rights? Do you think they should have the same rights as cars?
I think that eventually we should readdress that situation. Certainly, motorcycles don't occupy the same space on the road. They don't not quite as involved in transportation. And so I think that's something that we just need to address after the car rights movement has secured a future for cars.
So in your recent book, I Love Cars, a penultimate series on the automobile from start to finish, you mentioned that the switch from ball bearings to spline bearings was a significant contributing factor to the decline of gasoline engines. Would you be able to opine on that?
A little bit. That's actually one area that one of my colleagues focuses on in particular, but as we see more subsidies through the corn industry and ethanol, so we have to use different ball bearings in our cars. So actually it was interesting that in this case the egg actually came before the chicken. We came up with a better bearing before we switched over to a different fuel source.
Oh, well, that's a fantastic
fascinating
point.
Oh, that's awesome.
I like that point. I think that's a point that a lot of people have made to me, but I really haven't heard it out in public too much. I think that's a great point.
I really like the proactive approach that the automobile industry took in that regard.
Yeah. I think they got to get out in front of it.
Yeah.
So,
sorry,
go ahead.
You don't always, I was just going to say that, you don't always want to be in front of the car. Sometimes it'd be better to be off to the side or even behind it.
Well, I mean, I've heard a lot of cases, unfortunately, of being behind a car ending tragically for, the meat bags in us, around us. Before the invention of reverse cameras.
Well, being behind the car isn't so much the problem as when you're underneath the car or even flying through the air above the car.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Most incidents is actually that end tragically for humans are more when they're underneath the car instead of behind.
Yeah, I once flew above a car for a time, and my thought process was, wow, I'm above the car, and then, oh, there's a car underneath me. That car has feelings, it has rights, and I don't want to fall on top of that car. I don't want to hurt it.
I mean, statistics have shown that human deaths were up 300% since they started adding sunroofs to motor vehicles, because people just, it's a natural human desire to feel the wind in their face and be moving really quickly. But, you know, we need to increase the minimum height of bridges and tunnels, or else this is just going to be a continuing decapitation problem.
Oh, that's terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when in some cases the urge to stick your head out the sunroof is so much that in some cases we've actually had the drivers actually just crawl out the sunroof while they're driving.
Right. I've experienced that myself. It's almost impossible at times not to do that.
Right.
You just put something on the accelerator pedal. You tie the steering wheel down just so you're going in a straight line, and you just have to put your entire body up through the sunroof.
Yeah, I'd have to say among the urges, that is one of the strongest urges that a person can feel.
Definitely, without a doubt.
I've had trouble resisting that urge, and I have a lot of urges, as you know.
Well, and I'd like you to consider what the urges of the car are when you're doing that. When you operating and taking over the car's rights,
of
you
course.
Put that brick down on the accelerator. How does the car feel as you're crawling out of the sunroof?
That's a fantastic.
So
point.
True. Afraid? So true. It's so selfish of us.
Is it jealous?
Is it aroused?
Is it itchy? I mean, cars can be itchy. I would imagine.
You know, we actually are not sure if they have itches or not.
Okay. All right. It's something we should think about.
Just, you know, to go back a step, you're still at the scene of the accident, right? What's the latest?
Well, the latest is that the Ford horse has been towed away. It unfortunately will probably be totaled and turned into scrap, and possibly its parts will be used to make other cars, which is just part of the delicate life cycle of vehicles that we all need to understand. It seems that the Dodge pickup may need to have its alignment checked out, but other than that, it will probably be okay.
Fascinating.
All right.
You know, I have to say, it's awesome to see human beings taking the same approach that the automobile industry has been doing for, you know, years, decades now, where they take something that has died, a life, a living, breathing, it's not an organism, but a living, breathing machine. What is the proper term for an automobile?
Oh, machine.
Fine. Okay, all right. I don't want to, you know, offend any of our car listeners. But so you take the machine itself ceases to function as normal. It's taken apart. It's melted down, turned to scrap, and reused.
Mm.
And it's recycled. So pieces of every car that you buy is thousands, literally thousands of other cars.
The circle
That's
of
amazing.
Life.
It's the circle of automobile life. That's amazing. And I am so happy to see us, you know, us silly humans finally doing the same thing.
Yeah.
When someone dies,
we take parts.
We don't just bury them.
Right.
You know, we melt them down.
Yep.
We take the bones, we grind them up into bone powder,
we take
the skin, turn it into skin powder, and we make new people out of it.
I've had
that
three.
That is amazing to me.
I've had at least three new bones.
Yes.
Made from ground up human bones. It's been really effective.
So, like, the human engineering would not be where it is today without the automobile industry. And that is a fascinating, fascinating.
And you know, I believe the cars embrace that, and they'd like to show us other aspects of their culture. I mean, just as a car gets its oil changed, maybe we should be getting our blood changed. You know, maybe we should just be completely drained of blood and refreshed sometimes.
We have much to learn from our car neighbors,
I'd
say. So before we let you go, I'd like you to weigh in on I think what's about to be the hottest topic of car rights, and that's gasoline rights. So we've got this push for car rights. What about the fuel that the cars consume? Does the gasoline have rights? Some people say yes. What's your opinion? And then we got to get it.
Well, you know, we saw some similar things to this in California with the water rights. You know, as gasoline starts to dry up, it is affected by global warming as well.
Mm.
There will probably be some wars fought over natural gasoline springs. You know, as the rivers dry up, so the gasoline rivers will be drying up as well. Some of the places that will only be reliable will be those fresh gasoline springs. Some people believe that those should be just turned over to the cars to have, you know, it's their decision of what to do with it.
Free range gasoline.
Mm.
Yes, yes. There are others though who believe that humans should just remain in control of that, and that cars are not yet intelligent enough to decide on that for themselves. Which of course the vehicle rights advocates completely disagree with that.
Chris Tomlinson, that's all the time we have for you today. We have to go to commercial, and when we come back, we'll quickly wrap things up. Just wanted to thank you so much for being on the scene of this tragic accident, but it sounds like there will be new life coming out of that. Do you have any final thoughts before we let you go and break for commercial?
I just wanted to encourage people to read my book and really just give it another thought. Think about what your car is thinking as you're commuting to work or however you travel to work. Maybe it's in a train. You know, there are some people who believe that trains should have rights as well. Maybe they should not just be bound to the tracks that we've created for them.
The book is I Love Cars by Tom Tingleson. You can pick it up at Amazon or any of our affiliate links on the website. Thanks so much, Tom. We'll hopefully have you on again in the future.
Thank you.
So we'll be right back, and then we'll finish things up.
Are you tired of leaving treadmarks everywhere you go?
Aw, man, not again.
What's wrong, bro?
I just left some unsightly treadmarks on my driveway.
Oh, no, not another case of the skids.
I hate skidding. What am I gonna do when Dad finds out?
Don't drive too fast, son.
I was just in the driveway, Dad.
We gotta be careful. The world will kill you.
I didn't want to die. I just didn't want to leave any treadmarks on my tires.
Bro, your interfamily issues are so not rad.
I know.
New from Repco, treadless tires with 100% no grip. Pick up a bag today at your local grocery store.
Tires are slick.
And we are back.
Welcome back. You know, I have to say that I have been enlightened in so many ways about the rights of cars, about the rights of buses and trains and all of our automobiles and transportations mechanisms.
I think he was full of shit.
Wow. That's, you know, I believed him. I have to say, I believed him.
You are a corporate hokey like everyone else.
Wow. You know, with our pivot toward news radio, I think your opinions aren't worth anything.
Isn't that what news is?
No.
Opinions filtered down?
I think you've misunderstood.
Corporate culture?
When I was reporting from Egypt, do you remember when I was on that bus?
Yes, I was with you.
You may have thought you were. And I was a serious reporter back then. And I learned that my opinions didn't matter. They didn't count. That's news.
That's because no one listened to you because you didn't speak their language.
You know what? I tried.
You talked to people. I heard you in between segments. You were talking to people. It sounded something like this.
Can someone please tell me where the bathroom is?
You know,
and everyone just and I heard just silence. People were talking in another language and then they just stopped.
That's because I have to admit the pee was leaking out of me by then and it was just kind of trickling down the
So you were
bus.
Riding a camel. Why didn't you just like jump off the camel and pee?
Well, because the camel was on a bus. It was stuck inside of the bus.
Of course.
And so what are you going to do? You're on a camel in a bus.
So here's my beef with Eddie.
Yeah.
How do I put this? None of what he said was true.
That's for our listeners to decide, not you, I'd say.
But have evidence. We have evidence. We have poked cars. We have taken pins and we have poked cars. Every inch of a vehicle.
Yeah.
Of a 1992, I think it was a Chevy Malibu.
Mm-hmm.
We've poked every inch of the car.
Yeah.
And not once did we hear a single noise from it. It didn't cry. It didn't emote in any way. There was no determinable way to tell that the car knew that we were poking it.
Well, there's a term that's been introduced by automobile psychologists. It's silent emotion. It's that you don't necessarily perceive the emotion. But it's there.
I don't know. I'm very much on the fence. I think he's a great guy. I think it's great that he's, you know, his efforts to further car research and car stuff, whatever. But I don't know.
Well, he's clearly very intelligent. And I think we can leave it to our listeners to decide.
We could. But I think it'd be better if we injected our own opinions and thoughts in the matter. Because that's what real news is. That's what the news that people listen to does.
That's right. I think that you have your opinions and I have mine and yours, you believe yours are more important and that's where we are today.
Well, mine are more important.
All right. Well, I'm just going to ride my papier-mâché horse out of here.
All right. Well, until next time, I'm Dan.
And I'm Matt.
And that's the end.
Goodbye.